message is breath and blood. Mask mania. Mask mania. Our text is just one verse for you today. Genesis 2:7. All right, let's begin reading together. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Holy God, bless this church. Bless the preaching. Bless, Father, the hearing and the response to your word, Lord. May we learn. May everyone receive something today, Lord. Deep things, new things, old things. And we do pray, Father, that you bless it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Why the breath of life? Why breath and blood? Mask mania. One reason. I want you right now, today, to take a deep breath. Well, I appreciate you doing that literally. I do appreciate that. I do. But also spiritually, I want you to take a deep breath. You understand that? I want us to get in the Lord's Spirit. And I want us not to be stressed. I don't want us to be overly alarmed. I want us to remember God is in control. And I want to be refreshed. And I want you to be refreshed in God's Spirit. Remember the Lord Jesus. Everybody was just seeking Him and He needed to heal people and all of that. But He would take time to go up in that mountain. He had His garden place. He had those places of retirement. You've got one of the most beautiful places here up in the Ozarks. There's so many places that you can go get alone with God and grab a hold of Him and be refreshed in your spirit. Get your quiet time with the Lord. And when I say quiet time, it shouldn't be quiet. You know, what it means is quiet in regard to the cares and stresses of this world. But we ought to be seeking God and shouting out to Him and seeking His face with boldness. So God wants you to enjoy Him. We need to enjoy nature. And man is busy. Things have been crazy this year. But listen, some people think that just because it's the new year, it's all over. No more craziness. No, that's not how it's going to be, folks. We pray for a time of refreshment, but the battle is still at hand. Just because the date on the calendar changed, their agenda is not going away. Satan's agenda is not going away. This is not over. So I'm calling you today to declutter your life. Figure out what's important and stick to it and do it well and do it with all your might. But we got to balance. We have to balance praying and seeking God and faith. And we got to cut away the things and the people that drain our spirit. All those things that weaken us. And I'm telling you, sin, all of that needs to be cut out. Big ones, little ones. But there are weights in your life that lead to sin. And some of those need to go. And you need to figure out what those are this new year. He says in Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. People have gone before you. They've done this thing. They've run this race. Don't tell God you can't do it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It keeps us from running. There's things in your life you say, well, this is legal, this is all right, but it keeps you from running the way you should be running. It's cluttering up your life. You need to figure out what that is this new year, and you need to think about it right now. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You ought to be running in your Christian life. The Lord was intense. You know, Simon, Simon, there was intensity to our Lord Jesus, intensity in Paul's life. This one thing I do. We need to have this spirit and it needs to be manifest. It needs to be manifest in everything you do, in everything you do. I tell you what, the grave's coming. The grave's coming or our Lord's coming out of the sky. One or the other. And I tell you, we better be ready. We better be ready. Notice it says, let us run. I tell you, I wonder if some of us can run. You know, this is New Year's. This is New Year's. Can you even run? Now, if you've got an affliction or something like that, if you're very elderly and that type of thing, but I'm talking about in general, we ought to be able to run. Amen. You ought to get out here and run. I think of that verse in the Bible where the Lord says, don't just go 1 mile, go an extra mile, go twain. I wonder if some folks could even go a mile. And the Lord commands us to go 2. Can we go 2 miles? Can we even walk 2 miles? Can we run? These are important things. I believe physically, how much more spiritually should we shun laziness? Should we shun laziness? Now, there are some Christians. They're not being bombed out of the race. It's not like they're running the course and Satan up here on the mountainside just throws something at them, throws a giant rock and knocks them out. That does happen sometimes. I mean, from out of nowhere, here it comes and just knocks you out. But I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are slowly being choked out of the race, is what I'm trying to tell you today. I'm trying to tell you, the fruit is being smothered. You're being choked by the cares of this life. You're being cumbered about with much serving, but your eyes aren't in the right place. They're on somebody else, and competition and envy and that type of strife. And we need to get our eyes on Jesus for this new year. I'm telling you, it's true spiritually, but it's also true in regard to your health. It's also true in regard to your health. Many people make New Year's resolutions to exercise. Amen to that. There's profit in physical exercise, especially for our generation. Wow. But let's make sure that physical exercise is a part of our whole life of exercising ourselves toward godliness. That's just one part. We take care of our body, take care of our temple, because it's one part of exercising ourselves toward godliness. And the Bible says that's the most important thing. I believe if you exercise yourself toward godly, you get the physical exercise. But if you just concentrate on physical exercise, we could leave out how important it is to discipline our lives and exercise ourselves toward holiness. The Bible's saying if you're going to grow in holiness, it's going to hurt. No pain, no gain. If you suffer, you shall reign. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, I tell you, if you will exercise toward responding to God's chastisement, exercise, it doesn't seem joyous, but if you'll exercise with God, you'll receive that joy, that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, some of us are easily winded in our spiritual race. Many are already on the sidelines, puffing, no longer participating, weary. Some of us are easily winded physically beyond what we should be. Nobody's putting upon you a standard to go above and beyond what's possible or what's normal. Even though Caleb and many others in the Bible had their youth renewed and were able to obtain that which seemed impossible. And I do believe with God's ways and God's food and the things of God, we could do amazing things. But I'm telling you, it's important to breathe. It's important to have wind. The breath of life. It's important to have wind and be able to breathe spiritually and physically. You need oxygen. I'm not talking about yoga today. Curse yoga. I want nothing to do with yoga, anything else, Eastern, mystical. I'm not talking about mindlessness today. Now, they call it mindfulness. Isn't that something like the devil to come give you the opposite of what you're doing? I'm sure there's some good ways to breathe. Talk to Brother Matt about some of that and others. It's good to learn how to breathe. I'm not talking about yoga, but it's good to learn how to breathe and that type of thing. But what I'm really talking about today is all the ways Satan is using to keep you from breathing spiritually and physically. The way he's choking you out. He's choking you so you can't breathe spiritually, so you won't concentrate on what needs to be concentrated on. Why is that? Because you know what the devil is. He's the thief, the murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. It says in John 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now think about this for a second. You say, I'm breathing. Are you abundantly breathing? You say, I'm living. Are you abundantly living? Well, that's something to think about spiritually and physically. Satan wants to make sure if he can't kill you that you feel like you're dead. He wants to make sure that you are weak and that you are unable to breathe very well. We're also told in Deuteronomy, only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. Now we got the breath of life, and we got the blood is the life. And thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. This is very interesting. Breath and blood are both called life in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Because guess what? That defines life. It's the very definition of life. If both of those stop, if your circulation stops and your breathing stops, you're dead. They stop long enough, you're dead. There's a close relationship, therefore, between your breath and your blood. Now, we know there's a circulation system. And we know that when you breathe, it fills that blood with oxygen and it takes it throughout your body. Now, we know this whole world lies in wickedness, and the God of this world is structured more and more to keep you from breathing, to starve your blood and to starve your body. And He's going to do it physically, and He's going to do everything He can to hinder your spiritual life. You have constant stress and business, distraction and toys, worries and fears, propaganda, insane policies designed to ultimately keep you from breathing. If they can't stop you from breathing, they want to hinder your breathing. It's all a picture of the spiritual, folks. The devil trying to keep you from breathing to your fullest is a picture of what the God of this world is doing to your life spiritually. He wants your face covered, unable to breathe spiritually. What a wonderful picture. Not a wonderful picture. I'll tell you what it is. It is an amazing picture. I suppose the greatest symbol of all of this, Satan trying to stop you from breathing, stop you from enjoying your Christian life, stop you from doing what you should be doing. The ultimate symbol of all of this is the various mask mandates. And even where there's no mandate, there is a pressure to conform. I'm not telling you what hill to die on. I'm not telling you when to resist. I think some of this depends upon the situation. You know, you might want to go to a certain store in a certain state and get what you need before you fight the battle of the mask mandate. Before you have the lecture and the discussion, you might want to make sure you got what you need from the store. Because I'm telling you, they are so into this thing, they could care less about your business. See, this thing surpasses money. It is an agenda, and it is a propaganda control mechanism. In many ways, the mask has become the symbol of conformity with the leftist, liberal, New World Order, New Age agenda. Marxism is a part of that one world agenda. It has been for a long time. Socialism, communism, somewhat given momentum and systematized by Karl Marx, a very, very wicked man. Marx taught, now listen now, that the individual must be sacrificed. His or her rights. Because your rights, according to Marx, creates inequality. And they say there can be no inequality. All must be equal. Except, of course, those in the party. The pigs of Animal Farm, if you will. Remember, the pigs, they're not equal. They're not equal. That's how that works. You are to have the revolution, bring them into power, but the pigs have the power, see. They have everything. But you have to wait in the bread line. See. So, how many leaders have been caught already not following their own draconian rules? I mean, you can't even keep up with it anymore. It was the same in 1918. For about 2 years, you had the Spanish flu that mysteriously somehow just went around the world. And this is when some of the first mask mandates were attempted. But what happened is the very leaders who were bringing forth the mask mandates were caught not obeying the mask mandates. In October 1918, the San Francisco Chronicle ran a public service announcement telling readers that the man, woman, or child who will not wear a mask now is a dangerous slacker. The question is, who is the real slacker? Who is the real slacker? See, for your safety, you might as well just get ready. From here on out, everything will be taken from you for your safety. I was hindered 2 times from walking down a sidewalk to witness to sodomites for my safety. You understand? It was used all around America. We took it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court would not hear it. Right now, you must be silenced on the internet for your safety. You must wear a mask and cover up your mouth and nose for your safety. See? You just add safety, people submit to anything. Safety is a new weapon to deny your biblical, God-given constitutional rights, to meld you into controlled consensus. Back in San Francisco, there was dissenters. They called themselves the Anti-Mask League. We have a brother Dan right now in California dissenting on the basis of health. And he put together some good information how the mask is denying OSHA standards in regard to oxygen levels. And he's done his homework about that. Pray for him. But all of this is a part of Marxist agenda that considers the individual, your freedom, inseparably connected to society. Meaning that what's important is the society. See, so that's why you have to have your mouth covered as a symbolic baptism of sorts, a symbolic emblem that you are melding into conformity with experts, with the party. It's not conformity to doctors. I could find doctors all over the place that disagree with this. It's conformity to what they say. Whoever's in control, what they say is medical science. See, science is whatever they tell you is science. And it'll change from month to month. Right now, Google used to be a place where you could go and get information. Right now, do not think that when you Google, most people don't go the first 5 or 6 or 7. Stuff is hidden on Google now. See, it was a trap. They open the door, give you all this information. I was thinking how strange this is that we're being allowed to have all these books, all this information. Hey, it was just for a time, folks, till you get addicted now. You can't even read an encyclopedia. You don't even have an encyclopedia. You don't even have any books. And now you're addicted to having all your information. So now from Wikipedia to Google to YouTube to Twitter to Facebook, they've all joined together to control information now. Whatever they deem as anti-science is now buried. And if you say anything contrary to what they say, you are canceled. See, it was a trap. The door has now been shut. That's why the covered mouth is so important to the Great Reset. It's you, the individual, your Bible, your religion, that must be silent. You must sacrifice your mouth. Your voice must be reduced to a mumble. A mumble. Everybody walking around mumbling to one another. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen. One of the most insane things. Your identity. Your expressions. Because the only truth is what society says is true. The experts they have chosen. The white coats that they have chosen. Even they, the white coats, must go along with the higher influences, see, or they will get canceled. Everybody's afraid of getting canceled, see. You've already been canceled. See, you'll be able to see that God never wanted your mouth covered. The Lord said, whatsoever he tells you in secret, preach upon the housetops. Don't even fear man. If they kill your body, he said, don't worry about that, just fear me. And you're to do it without fear. The Bible says, open your mouth in the gate. Not only preach the gospel, but you're to deliver those that are being murdered and hurt, like aborted babies and so many others that are being maligned and unjustly treated. You're to open your mouth and speak up for them. Christians are to be bold. They're to get out here and let their light shine. Let their light shine. On one side, you've got people growing increasingly skeptical. It's been going on now for a few decades. Anything said by so-called licensed mainstream experts. It's been a growing spirit in church, state, and world for many years now. As many awake and shake off the shackles, others are becoming even more fearful and addicted to conformity. It's sad to see. I traveled recently through many states. I couldn't believe what I saw. Some of it was very interesting. Some states you go through and go into a store and hardly nobody has a mask. Nowhere. Regardless of what the state mandated. I went to some places of Georgia. It was mainly a black area. And I walked into the Walmart and I could not believe nobody had their nose covered. Everybody had a mouth covered. But they said, no, we're not going to walk around and not breathe. It was very interesting. I looked all around the store. I'm like, they're not covering their nose. This is very interesting. This is very interesting. I go to other places and they are very draconian about the mask. I go into a health food store and everybody's very, and they're walking around. You get that uptight look, you know, where they're kind of following you around and things. They're like, you got to have that mask. And I tell you, make sure you buy what you need first and then have your conversation with them. And it was amazing because nobody will have a conversation. Can I ask you a question? As somebody that understands about health, if you'd like to have a conversation about, I don't even want to hear that. I don't want to hear. And they close down. They usher you out the door. I don't want to hear that. See, there's something. When they tell you that this is something off limits and there's only one way to think about it, you know it's propaganda because people get very enraged and emotional and they can't discuss it. See, that's when your mind is being controlled and you have surrendered your intellect for conformity. So you don't be labeled a fool, see. Then I made it to another state. Strangest thing I ever saw. Everywhere I looked, they had their britches down and their underwear showing, but their face covered. I had talks with them. I said, come here, come here. Sometimes I got angry, and I understand. I would just say, hey, you know what? There's women present. You need to pull your britches up. Amazingly, they did. One fella, I came and I said, listen, I'm going to try a different tactic because it's not going to work every single time. So I came to one fella and said, hey, Jesus loves you, man. I'm trying to figure out why your face is covered, but your rear end is not. Isn't that strange what the devil's done to you, man? And he pulled his britches up. Praise God. Praise God. Stand up and be a man. Amen. God help us. What is happening in this world? What is happening to us? You know, one thing I think is sad, that many will cover their face, their whole face, but their eyes, out of fear, or for the sake of conformity. But they would never conform to God's culture in the Bible. They would oppose a preacher. I have my liberty. You're not going to tell me to cover up in regard to modesty. I'll be naked where I want to be naked. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. See, it's all about loving the world, isn't it? Because if you love God, you want to conform to the things of God. And regardless of what that crowd's doing out there, regardless of what the world's doing, you're not going to love the world or the things in the world. You're not going to be a friend of the world. You're going to do what God said and love God. But notice what's happening today. All these people, all these women that said, no, I will never cover up. You're trying to make me into a Muslim. I've never told one person ever to cover their face. You know that? I never told anybody to put anything on their head. But you have an amazing conformity. All the world is propaganda. It's a system they have in place. They say, cover it up. And they'll do it. Without an argument. I think that's a shame. I think that's a shame. I think you got things backwards. I think you got things backwards. Oh, help us, Lord. I said I fully believe it's all symbolic. It's a crowd control experiment. They've already done it for years. Remember how prisons sometimes have lockdowns? Sometimes they have lockdowns because things are out of control and they need to let you know there's conformity. We're going to lock down the whole prison. Sometimes it's just a drill. Lockdown time. Buzz. Everything closes. Get inside your bunk. Everything closed. The door slapped shut. Iron door. Everything. It's lockdown time. See, when you're in a prison, when you're expected to conform, when they say conform, you've got to go through drills. You've got to go through fire drills, tornado drills, lockdown drills. What that means is we want you to conform, and we're going to have certain drills in society. So you learn, when we bring out the vaccines, when we bring out the drugs, when we bring out whatever Kool-Aid, you take it when we say take it. Just like you put a mask on when I said put a mask on. You didn't have church when I said don't have church. We will not have church. Now, the devil always has his meaning symbolically of what you're doing. And God oftentimes has a separate meaning for what's going on when he looks at it. Example, in the 1920s, D.M. Panton, great man of God, great biblical writer, and many others, they took a verse out of Jeremiah that said, "Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath." They say, you know what's happening right now? This verse is being fulfilled. The women in the 1920s cutting off their hair, they said was a picture of we had entered the last generation. For 100 years or so, it was going to be the last generation. And by them cutting their hair, saying, we have liberty, we have liberty. Basically, they said it was actually a judgment upon society. And that the women losing their beauty and their glory and casting it down was a picture, a symbol that the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Meaning that there's bad things that are going to come upon you in the nation. Now, to Satan and the Marxist, the mask is a symbol of conformity to society. Your liberty, your safety. Just like cutting the hair was your liberty to be a man. See? To throw off the shackles of biblical Christianity. To put that mask on is your conformity to say, I am a good socialist. I will be canceled. I will hide my mouth. But what does it mean to the angels of God? What does it mean to God himself? I believe there are several pictures. But as you open the Bible, again, we have God's answer to what's happening right now. When you look at a whole nation and a whole world walking around with their mouth covered, with their face covered, I believe to God, sometimes there is a covering of humility, but this isn't it. They're not being humble. They're not being humble. It has nothing to do with humility to God out here. But the Bible says sometimes when people cover their face, it's because they're criminals. It's because they're criminals. You look inside the Bible. They're criminals. That's why they cover. It used to be if somebody walked into a bank with a face covering, I mean, you get the security guard after them, you know. Somebody walk in a store with a face covering, they would usher them out of here. You can't come in here like that. See, criminals cover their face. In the Bible, it was a sign of a harlot to cover your face. Now, if the wind's blowing and there's dust everywhere, that's one thing. If you're getting married and you're going through, you know, a beautiful ceremony or picture or something like that. But in general, women didn't cover their face. When Rebecca came, she covered it when she saw Isaac, but she had been with the servant and going through all kinds. She didn't have her face covered. There's nothing immodest about a woman's face. You understand? You could have a wicked look on your face and make your face look shameful. But people cover their faces to hide criminal or immoral conduct. For many decades in America, there were anti-mask laws. It was for banks and store owners. It was for the KKK. You can't cover yourself up like that. You're not going to cover yourself up. It was to expose criminals or people doing things behind the scenes. But in the Bible, to have your face covered is also a judgment. It's a judgment. Do you remember Haman before he was executed? It says, as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Whatever God's about to judge, see, whatever God's about to judge, they cover the face. I'm telling you right now, folks, this is a symbol to the angels and to from God that I'm about to judge this world more so than I've ever judged it. This is the generation from the time they cut their hair off and now they have their face covered. God's saying, OK, you're ready for the execution. You are now ready. You are now ready. It says in Isaiah 30, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That didn't come from the churches of America. That didn't come from the pastors of America. That didn't come from King James Bible preaching pastors. It didn't come from the King James Bible. They didn't cover anybody up because they thought they'd get an infection. You might cover up somebody that's infectious or something like that and quarantine them, but you don't quarantine healthy people. They weren't afraid of getting a disease. I'll tell you something, folks. You didn't cover the face in the Bible. You have no authority whatsoever to come into church. They went into their synagogues. They had their churches. They went into the public place, and they did not cover their face up like that. So that is not of God's Spirit, that they may add sin to sin. It's because they're about to launch their new world order. And God says, go ahead. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. You'll cover yourself up and be ripe for judgment. I believe that's what's happening. I believe that's what's happening. Let me show you Jeremiah 51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces. For strangers are coming to the sanctuaries of the house of the Lord. You know what it also is a symbol of? It's a symbol that God's church has been overridden by strangers. Sometimes God's own people are strangers to God because they're friends of the world. And God's saying, why are there so many strangers in my house? Why are there so many strangers? There's unbelievers in my house. There's unbelievers and there's carnal people. What is going on? Oh, what a symbol. Cover your faces. Cover your faces. It's a picture that God's sanctuaries have been overrun all throughout the world. Micah, then shall the seers be ashamed and the divines confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. It's a picture that the preachers of America and of the world have nothing to say. They've left the King James Bible. They've left God's Spirit. And now they're being covered by their faces, on their faces. Their lips are covered. And God looks down and says, yeah, you ought to be covered because you have nothing to say. You have nothing to say. Oh, there's hush money. Hush money. Oh, there's 501c3, whatever I'm going to do it for the money, says the preacher. I can't preach on certain things. I'll lose half my people. I'll lose more than half my people. I must make every decision based upon money. Oh, I tell you what, there's lots of them right now, and they are silenced by the world. They are silenced by the world. Praise God for those that are waking up. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. So God looks down and says, everybody's covered now. Okay, you're right for execution. You're right for execution. You're right for judgment. Here it goes now. Here it goes. Here it goes. Wow. God help us. God help us. I tell you something, folks. If fighting the spread of disease is the true reason, then teach people about sunshine. Uncover your face and get out here in the sun. Learn about cod liver oil. Learn to eat organic. If they wanted to push up the immune system to perform better, you don't have to cover your face. You need to eat organic and get rid of antibiotics and pesticides. Do you know how much common sense this is? That if you put antibiotics inside your body a little bit every day from chicken and all the things you're doing, that it butchers your immune system? It lowers your immune system? I've watched it with my own eyes, folks. I've watched it with my own eyes. We have the studies, but I've seen it with my own eyes. Pesticides, antibiotics wreck your immune system. But cover your face? That's what you're telling everybody to do? People need to breathe, do they not? Why are you covering your face? They say this is a virus out here. You know, a virus is said to be 1,000 times smaller than bacteria? And you think your mask is going to cover a virus from leaving or entering? So finally, when you push them, they say, well, it's really to block spit droplets. Well, let me ask you a question. How does it block spit droplets?
Does it do it like a goalie in a soccer game? There's a spit droplet. Throw that away here. There's another one. Throw that one away. No, it does it like flypaper. If somebody spits, it's stuck. When you spit, boom, it's stuck. Basically, it's catching all the spittle that's in the air. It's catching everything that's filthy in the air. Everything you touch and then touch your mask, it's stuck there. So you're walking around. You ever seen the flypaper you stick up in your house? And after a while, one fly, two fly, it all starts gathering. The more flies you get, the more they start congregating. And they get stuck, and they get stuck, and they get stuck. You're walking around with a mask with bacteria and whatever else of filth that's stuck all over that thing. And you're trying to breathe through that thing all day. That's about the stupidest thing. That's why they didn't do that in the Bible. That's ridiculous. You got to be out of your mind. You got to be out of your mind. How does slightly stopping the spread of spit droplets, while at the same time you increase disease and butcher people's immune system by covering up their face, you know, you need to breathe oxygen, Church of God. You exhale air rich in carbon dioxide waste, which can displace oxygen. If less oxygen is available, symptoms such as rapid breathing, rapid heart rate, clumsiness, emotional upsetness, fatigue. And if you continue to deprive yourself of oxygen, nausea, vomiting, collapse, convulsion, coma, death. And I've got another question. If you're to cover up your mouth and your nose, why not your eyes? Just go ahead and cover up everything. Virologist Joseph Fair, PhD, NBC News contributor, says he caught it through his eyes. He claims he did. He says he was covered. I caught it through my eyes. Ocular Surface Journal says these results indicate, they studied this, 2020, these results indicate that ocular surface cells, that's your eyes, are susceptible to infection by SARS, COVID, and could therefore serve as a portal of entry as well as reservoir for person-to-person transmission of this virus. So you're walking around with your eyes showing, you know, your eyes. It appears to me the wisest course of action, if they're really interested about stopping disease, is to build up your immune system and be wise in what you touch. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm not exalting myself over experts. I'll show you many so-called experts that disagree with their experts. And not only that, I have an inspired Bible. See, I have an inspired Bible. So I can look at what God said, and I have faith in that book, that God's ways, He gives us the command. He gives us the examples. If sunlight and clean air with adequate oxygen fight viruses, then the opposite increase viruses or disease. The Bible speaks of pestilence that walketh in the sunshine. No. It speaks of pestilence that walketh in the darkness. Oh, yeah, pestilence. Oh, that virus or whatever you have, whatever it is, folks, and you got it dark and moist there, and you're going to sit and breathe that all day. It's walking in darkness. Sally Fallon. She's associated with the Weston Price Foundation, author of Nourishing Traditions. I agree with so much that she writes in there. There's a lot of things because she's like, you know, if it wiggles somewhere, eat it and put it in your mouth. And that's not biblical. You know, that's not biblical. The swine and all that kind of stuff. I'm not into that mess. But anyway, she links the flu outbreaks throughout history to sunspots and atmospheric changes. It's interesting that the flu comes from a word called influence, which many believe that there were electrical influences all throughout the atmosphere, and that these, as they change and as your body tries to adjust to them, can bring the flu or the influence, you know, that was an idea. And there's a lot of folks, she has actually jumped upon that idea now. And regardless of whether she's overstated the matter as to primary cause, it does appear clear, based on evidence, that things like electrical magnetic fields, EMFs, can contribute to disease and weakness. And this relates to our topic today because we're dealing with breathing. EMFs and such like cause changes in your blood that can contribute to low oxygen levels, and this translates to a lower immune system. So you need to cover your eyes if you're going to really be wise. Let's see what Sally says here. Fast forward to the internet and cell phone era. According to Furstenberg, an author who's written a book about this, the onset of cell phone service in 1996 resulted in greater levels of mortality in major cities. On September 26, 2019, Wuhan, China, turned on fifth generation 5G wireless and officially launched 5G on November the 1st. With a grid of about 10,000 antennas, more antennas than exist in the whole U.S., all concentrated in one city. And soon we began hearing about a strange new illness coming from this highly industrialized location. A spike in cases also occurred on February 13th, the same week that Wuhan turned on its 5G network for monitoring traffic. Illness has followed 5G installation in all major cities in America. The fact that some 5G transmitters broadcast at 60 gigahertz is of particular concern. According to telecommunications industry literature, this frequency is highly absorbed by oxygen, causing the molecule to split apart and making it useless for respiration. Guidelines published in 2016 by European EMF, a nonprofit watchdog organization, state that there is strong evidence that long-term exposure to certain EMFs is a risk factor for diseases such as certain cancers, Alzheimer's disease, male infertility. Describing common symptoms of electromagnetic hypersensitivity, also called microwave illness, the authors cite headaches, concentration difficulties, sleep problems, depression, lack of energy, fatigue, and flu-like symptoms. A study published in Oncology Journal describes lung injury from radiation therapy. Radiation therapy uses shorter waves at close range for a shorter period of time. It stands to reason that 5G millimeter waves with 4G transmitters nearby pulsing massive amounts of frequency day and night could also cause lung injury. The correlation of the 5G rollout in COVID-19 cases and the similarity of symptoms should give us pause. Shouldn't we be looking more closely before we institute mandatory vaccination and electronic ID chipping? I remember as a guitar teacher who had an apartment way back in the 90s, and I had a guitar student, and I lived right next. My apartment was next to the electrical grid, you know, that powered all the apartments everywhere, and it just sat there and hummed. And this was way before the internet. I don't want to say how old I am, but nevertheless, what he basically said was, wow, dude, there's like cancer and all kinds of stuff that comes from these things. And it really, I was trying to be healthy, you know, and I sat there and looked at it from a bunch of electricity. What are you talking about? But he was kind of before his time about some of that. She goes on to say, which environmental factors are affecting many people in the same place at the same time? So you don't have to believe that that is the primary cause. She has a book that she's written with the doctor where they're going to try to prove that's the primary cause. But regardless, if you have something that weakens your immune system, then there can be all kinds of triggers. And if it becomes a major factor in the weakening of your immune system, then it's very important that that's addressed somehow. Somehow. Because everybody's just jumping head first into this. Which environmental factors are affecting many people in the same place at the same time? One obvious candidate is electromagnetic pollution. Dr. Cameron Kyle Seidel, working on the front lines in a New York City hospital, made a video explaining what he had observed. We've never seen anything like this. The afflicted are literally grasping for air. In fact, the ventilators that the hospitals have scrambled to obtain do more harm than good and may be accounting for the high mortality rate. The patients don't need help breathing. They need more oxygen when they take a breath. What Kyle Seidel describes is a disruption of our mechanisms for producing energy and getting oxygen to the red blood cells. Now, what can we do other than try to get away from as much of this stuff as we can? What can you do? I find it interesting. Here's a study that says a strategic call. Remember in the Bible it says when they were eating garlic and onions and fish, they were strong and they had God's blessing on them. And they were multiplying and they were strong. I'm going to tell you something. In the Bible, if you study Song of Solomon and other places in the Bible, garlic and onions is one of the most important things you could eat, as long as it's not full of pesticides. Here's a study, a strategic call to utilize echinacea and garlic in flu cold seasons. In vivo studies years ago in Japan reveal how laboratory mice could not be inoculated with the influenza virus intranasally when garlic was administered.
Wow.
If you get time, look up how potent garlic is. Just the tiniest little amount. You would not believe how it affects and kills virus. Just the smell of it. It's almost like you have a little garlic over here and all of them run out the door. You know what I mean? They don't want to be anywhere near that stuff, you know. In the Spanish flu, they walked around, they put necklaces around them full of garlic, you know. Boy, that had more sense than the mask. I tell you, I don't want anybody mandating garlic hanging around your neck, but if you're going to have some at least sense about this, mandate that everybody walks around with garlic hung about their neck. It would have a lot more effect stopping the whatever it is out there, the sickness. Good old garlic. Praise God for it. Several studies have reported that exposure to EMF results in oxidative stress. This is from the journal Microscopic Ultrastructure, I believe, 2017. Listen to what they say. Several studies have reported that exposure to EMF results in oxidative stress in many tissues of the body. Exposure to EMF is known to increase free radical concentrations. That means you just got all kinds of filth floating around. One study reported that extremely low exposure to EMF from mobile phones can even cause health problems. Several studies have reported findings such as stress, headache, tiredness, anxiety, decreased learning potential, impairment in cognitive function, and poor concentration in case of exposure to microwave radiation emitted from mobile phones. EMFs influence metabolic processes in the human body and exert various biological effects on cells through a range of mechanisms. EMF disrupts the chemical structures of tissue, since a high degree electromagnetic energy absorption can change the electric current in the body. As a result of this exposure, the functions of organs are affected. Low frequency and RF, EMF has also been reported to alter permeability of the blood-brain barrier. Now that's horrible. That's horrible. So now heavy metals can have more access to your brain than they could before? That's a horrible situation. That's a horrible thing. At the same time, these changes in the blood-brain barrier may lead to excess accumulation of heavy metals, and specifically iron, in the brain. This effect may trigger several neuronal disorders. Some studies have reported that DNA damage and blood-brain barrier disruption is connected, and that autism spectrum conditions are associated, at least, with EMF exposure. Disruption of fertility and production associated with EMFRFR may also be related to increasing incidence of autism spectrum. Now listen, neuroendocrine changes caused by EMFs, oh that's great. So along with plastic and chlorine and fluoride and pesticides and antibiotics and hormones and what else, now they're telling you we have studies showing that it alters your endocrine. Oh man, what else? What else? A key factor in changing hormone functions. That's all we need. That's all we need. This is so important. Listen to this. Glutathione, GSH, is an antioxidant and an important cellular defense. So you've heard all the bad news. Now they're getting to the good news. It's a important cellular defense agent against oxidative damage. GSH reacts with the free radicals in the cell. EMF emitted by cellular phones is known to be related to a decreased level of GSH in the brain tissue and blood. But antioxidants alleviate the potential risks of EMF exposure. Now that's a wonderful thing, because as you try to limit your exposure, you can up your biblical antioxidants and hopefully get some relief here. This is from the International Journal of Radiation Biology. Oxidative stress induced by 1.8 gigahertz radio frequency, electromagnetic radiation, and the effects of garlic extract in rats. We've already seen it stopped them from getting the flu intranasally. Now it's saying the purpose. We aim to study the oxidative damage induced by radio frequency electromagnetic radiation emitted by mobile telephones, and the protective effect of garlic extract used as an antioxidant agent against this damage. Woo, praise God, garlic grows so easy right in your backyard. There's wild garlic out there probably now somewhere. Conclusions. The exposure of RF EMR similar to 1.8 gigahertz global system for mobile communication leads to protein oxidation in brain tissue. There it is. We observed that garlic administration reduced protein oxidation in brain tissue. So there it is. You take the garlic and they do the study. They give them the radiation. Okay, now we have problem. Give them garlic and now it reduces the oxidation in the brain. Powerful, powerful. They found out back in 1962, what is it in garlic? They found out that radiation protection with sulfur and some sulfur-containing compound. It's long been known. When you get radiation therapy, they'll tell you, make sure now, this garlic thing, we want to make sure, you know, you're not doing anything to hinder our radiation. So they know. They know. They know how you can block this stuff. See, this electromagnetic radiation, they found out it can slow beneficial bacteria in your gut. So they said, okay, we can see now that the bad bacteria dominate the more we get around these cell phones and 5G towers and all this other electricity stuff. So they said, okay, let's give some rats. Let's expose them to 950 megahertz electromagnetic field. And let's give them some kombucha. And they found out that they were able to reverse the effects just by giving them kombucha. What happened? They replaced good bugs, see. They replace good bugs. So get out here and get your yogurt and your raw milk and whatever else that you could find. This glutathione that we've been looking at is called the master antioxidant. And it slows aging, causes your immune system to be strong. Dr. Mark Hyman has an article called Glutathione, the Mother of All Antioxidants. Well, we got to figure out how we get this glutathione. We got to figure out how we get it in our body. I bet you can guess how you get it. It's the most important molecule you need to stay healthy and prevent disease. Yet you probably never heard of it. It's the secret to prevent aging, cancer, heart disease, dementia, and more, and necessary to treat everything from autism to Alzheimer's disease. There are more than 89,000 medical articles about it, but your doctor doesn't know how to address the epidemic deficiency of this critical life-giving molecule. The good news is that your body produces its own glutathione. The bad news is that poor diet, pollution, toxins, medications, stress, trauma, aging, infections, and radiation all deplete your glutathione. We just found that out. I've discovered that glutathione deficiency is found in nearly all very ill patients. Over the years, I've come to realize that our ability to produce and maintain a high level of glutathione is critical to recovery from nearly all chronic illness. The secret of its power is the sulfur chemical groups it contains. And we've already seen sulfur block radiation. Sulfur is a sticky, smelly molecule. It acts like flypaper, and all the bad things in the body stick to it, including free radicals and toxins like mercury and other heavy metals. Glutathione is also the most critical and integral part of your detoxification system. Research has shown that raised glutathione levels decrease muscle damage, reduce recovery time, increase strength and endurance, and shift metabolism from fat production to muscle development. You could do many things to increase this. They're sitting there eating onions and leeks and all these sulfur-containing things, you know. The Egyptians over here eating bat heads and monkey brains and donkey dung and all kinds of things. And they're over here just eating these things. And God used that, I believe, to make them so strong, so strong. You can do many things to increase this natural and critical molecule in your body. You can eat glutathione-boosting foods. What does he say to do? Consume sulfur-rich foods. I'm not saying that's the only good thing about garlic, but it's a major thing. It's a major thing. The main ones in the diet are garlic and onions. Here we go again. Study after study, and it's right here where God began to make you strong. The Israelites are strong. It's all throughout the Bible. It's linked to good belly health in the Bible. Exercise boosts your glutathione levels. That's good to know. Amen. Any of you made a New Year's resolution to exercise? And it thereby boosts your immune system, improves detoxification, enhances your body's own antioxidant defenses. And selenium. You can get that in Brazil nuts, but just eat just a very little, maybe a Brazil nut or two. But selenium, the important mineral, helps the body recycle and produce more glutathione. So eat your Brazil nut every now and then. Eat a lot of garlic. Eat a lot of onions. And try to limit that exposure. And I believe you'll thrive. I believe you'll thrive. Provided you're doing the other wise things. Toxicology Industry Health says EMF of cellular phones may affect biological systems by increasing free radicals. We've seen that. By changing the antioxidative activities of your liver, thus leading to oxidative damage. CAPE, an active component of propolis extract, exhibits antioxidant properties, and several studies suggest that supplementation with antioxidant can influence EMF exposure, induce hepatotoxicity of your liver. The activities of SOD, and here's glutathione, decreased with the 900 megahertz EMF group compared with the control group, although their levels were increased when they had the EMF plus propolis. So what they did was, here's an example, for $12, I take this every day, royal jelly, bee pollen, and propolis. See, and you just, anything from the bee. Boy, I tell you, that bee's good, and they're about to be gone in the world. They're killing all your bees. And so you get a little bit of propolis, all of these things, royal jelly, all of those things are antioxidants that go up and try to block this oxidative stress and this damage. What a blessing. And what else can you do? Oh, well, we know the Bible said the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. Resveratrol. Where's resveratrol found? It's found in mulberries. Mulberry tree in the Bible. It's found in mulberry leaves. It's found in grape leaves, like 100 times the amount that are in grape skins. So we've got grape leaves growing all over the property. You've got some of the best medicine on the face of the earth growing down here on our property. Resveratrol may reverse the effects of long-term occupational exposure to electromagnetic fields on workers of a power plant. This study supported that occupational long-term exposure to high-voltage electricity line has an adverse effect on homeostasis of the human body, and resveratrol supplement could be an effective protection strategy against the adverse effects induced by ELF and EMFs. What are we learning? Eat your garlic and onions. Get you some grape leaves. Get you some propolis and raw honey. We found out that the EMFs restrict your blood flow. Getting back to our blood. Restricted blood flow reduces your oxygen supply to your brain. It causes a lumping of your red blood cells, interfering with your oxygen, bringing poor circulation, interfering with the removal of waste products like carbon dioxide. There's your grape leaves, so beautiful. Environ Health says healthy blood consists of red blood cells, which are round and which float freely in the plasma. Figure 4 shows live blood. I've watched videos of this actually, and there's many, many of these studies, but you can actually see the videos. Figure 4 shows live blood in an electromagnetically clean environment, and the blood from the same person spoke on a cordless phone for 10 minutes, and after using a wired computer for 70 minutes. Notice the red blood cells are sticking together and resemble a stack of coins. So when you got around the electromagnetic stuff, it caused the blood cells in the body to stick together. That's not good. When you eat garlic, it causes your blood to flow, and it causes good circulation, you know. But you get around that radiation, and it causes them to stick together. And now you have poor circulation, and that influences your oxygen levels. They've actually had a test that they did. This is an oxygen meter that Brother Mike let us borrow. That's been a blessing. So I don't know how sensitive it is, but all of that needs to be looked into. What happens when your red blood cells stick together? You get inflammation. You get fatigue. It impedes your blood flow. So let's see what Reuters says. Hydrogen sulfide. Oh, there's our friend, Mr. Garlic. Acts as a chemical messenger in the body, relaxing blood vessels, allowing more blood to pass through, said researcher Deepak Das in a statement. Both crushed and processed garlic reduces damage from lack of oxygen. Wow. But the fresh garlic group had a significantly greater effect on restoring good blood flow in the aorta. And they actually have this stuff called black garlic, which is fermented garlic. And they say that's really, really awesome, you know. But just get any garlic and take it and let's get good blood flow. Let's increase our oxygen levels and that type of thing. We found out in other studies that odorless garlic powder demonstrates antithrombotic activities. An antithrombotic agent is a substance that reduces blood clot formation, thins the blood. So eating garlic releases compounds in the blood that relaxes your blood vessels and increases your blood flow. EMFs increase your cortisol levels, which depress your immune system. Nobody knows for sure what the EMFs have done in regard to this COVID, how much of a cause or an instigator all of that is. But it's something you better look into and we better think a lot about. Pretty much you can say, if garlic is antiviral, that EMFs are pro-viral agents. So that's important. Now, something else they're finding out, that if you wear these N95 masks, they may have adverse physical effects on medical staff. Wearing N95 masks results in hypoxygenemia and hypercapnia. That's your carbon dioxide, which reduce working efficiency and the ability to make correct decisions. Results of our study. Our study revealed a decrease in oxygen saturation of arterial pulsations. The decrease was more prominent in the surgeons aged over 35. So they had them wear these N95 masks, and they found out there was a decrease. There was a decrease of their breathing. Well, how about that? You put something on your face, and it becomes hard to breathe. And so I don't think... What they say is we know all this. Secretly, if you pin them down, they say we know all this. But we think it outweighs you conforming to this. You just think it's going to outweigh. And they'll say, yeah, we're just taking a gamble. We're just taking a gamble. That's why they go back and forth, you know, on what they're actually saying. Being out of shape causes poor oxygen throughout your bloodstream. And you know what? You have rough times coming. We better get in shape, folks. Amen? We better get in shape. Your lungs need to breathe. Your body needs to breathe. Your cells need oxygen. Drinking enough water will help you stay hydrated and increase the oxygen in your blood. Many of you that eat meat, you probably get, I eat meat, but some people that have alpha-gal, an allergy to red meat and dairy, my daughter has that. We found out there was a good chance that she was lacking vitamin B12. And so when you lose vitamin B12, your blood oxygen levels begin to suffer. The first thing you get is headaches, confusion, anemia, if you continue with it. Why? Because vitamin B12 helps you make hemoglobin. And that's the protein that contains oxygen-carrying iron. So just taking two egg yolks a day and a shake and putting a tablespoon of palm sugar. Who would have ever guessed? Palm sugar, the only plant on earth other than meat that has vitamin B12. One tablespoon of palm sugar gives you 133 of your RDAs of vitamin B12. That is absolutely amazing. You try that with white sugar. Try that with white sugar. What a blessing to get your vitamin B12. Right there from palm sugar. Oh, they found out. Headaches. Not only do they block your oxygen, but of course, what do you think that's going to lead to? Headaches and the N95 face mask amongst healthcare providers. During the 2003 severe acute respiratory distress syndrome epidemic, healthcare workers mandatorily wore the protective N95 face mask. And 33.3% of the respondents reported face mask associated headaches, probably a reduction of their blood oxygen, or else they were having trouble eliminating their blood CO2. Now, if that's true, what about elderly people being told to put on masks out here? Well, what about people who have lung problems and issues already? The first time I was in some state, maybe Alabama, that I submitted to that, and I put it on, I walked around the store, I could only go maybe 5 minutes. It was hard for me. I said, no, this has got to come off. I'll walk out of the store. I'm not going to stop. I'm used to breathing. You know what I mean? It bothered me. This is insane. I talked to those poor people at the cash register. How do you do this all day? They say you just do what you got to do, you know. But it's sad. What about the elderly? What about the sick and the... Well, South China newspaper. Where are we at? Chinese study finds most masks shed microplastic fibers that are inhaled by the wearer and could be harmful. This is January the 2nd. Scientists first discovered microplastics in the lung tissue of some patients who died of lung cancer in the 1990s. And many other studies have since highlighted the potential damage to health caused by such materials. Some studies have found that the immune system can attack these foreign objects, causing prolonged inflammation that can lead to diseases such as cancer. The Institute study also found that reused masks produce more loosened fiber. So just as you're shutting down your oxygen and increasing your CO2, and you're getting all the filth collected on the mask as you try to breathe through it, you're breathing in plastic fibers if you have a plastic mask. And they start accumulating in your lungs. That's not good. I really enjoy Blaylock. I didn't know that he had written something. I knew he had some things on MSG and some really good things on antioxidants and things. He doesn't even realize that he's proven the Bible in so many ways with his research and his studies. So I should have known he'd be on top of this. And so I just found this the other day. Blaylock, Dr. Blaylock, retired neurosurgeon. Blaylock, face masks pose serious risk to the healthy. With the advent of the so-called COVID pandemic, we have seen a number of medical practices that have little or no scientific support as regards reducing the spread of this infection. One of these measures is the wearing of a facial mask, either a surgical-type mask, a bandana, or a N95 respirator mask. Only a very small number of people are at risk of a potentially serious outcome from the infection. There is growing evidence that the treatment protocol issued to treating doctors by the CDC, mainly intubation, inserting the tube through the mouth and then into the airway, and the use of a ventilator or respirator, may have contributed significantly to the high death rate in these select individuals. As for the scientific support for the use of a face mask, a recent careful examination of the literature, of which 17 of the best studies were analyzed, concluded that none of the studies established a conclusive relationship between mask respirator use and protection against influenza infection. It is also instructive to know that until recently, the CDC itself did not recommend wearing a mask or covering of any kind unless a person was known to be infected. Are there dangers, though, to wearing a face mask, especially for long periods? Several studies have indeed found significant problems with wearing such a mask. This can vary from headaches to increased airway resistance, carbon dioxide accumulation, hypoxia, all the way to serious life-threatening complications. It is known that the N95 mask, if worn for hours, can reduce blood oxygenation as much as 20%, which can lead to a loss of consciousness, as happened to the hapless fellow driving around alone in his car wearing an N95 mask. I'm conforming, causing him to pass out and crash his car and sustain injuries. But you know, you don't hear about that. You just hear he died of coronavirus. You know, you get out here and have a wreck because you got a mask on, and well, he died of coronavirus. Our president today says the numbers are greatly exaggerated. I am sure that we have several cases of elderly individuals or any person with poor lung function passing out, hitting their head. This, of course, can lead to death. A more recent study involving 159 healthcare workers aged 21 to 35 years of age found that 81% develop headaches from wearing a face mask. That's from Headache 2020. Headaches associated with personal protective equipment is the title. Some had pre-existing headaches that were precipitated by the mask. All felt like the headaches affected their work performance. While most agree that the N95 mask can cause significant hypoxia and hypercapnia, another study of surgical masks found significant reduction in blood oxygen as well. In this study, researchers examined the blood oxygen levels in 53 surgeons using the oximeter. They measured blood oxygenation before surgery as well as the end of surgery. The research has found that the mask reduced the blood oxygen levels significantly. The longer the duration of wearing the mask, the greater the fall in blood oxygen levels. The importance of these findings is that a drop in oxygen levels, hypoxia, is associated with an impairment in immunity. Studies have shown that hypoxia can inhibit the type of main immune cells used to fight viral infections. In essence, your mask may very well put you at an increased risk of infection. And if so, you'll have a much more worse outcome. People with cancer, especially if the cancer is spread, will be at further risk from prolonged hypoxia, as the cancer grows best in a microenvironment that is low in oxygen. Low oxygen also promotes inflammation, which can promote the growth, invasion, and spread of cancers. Repeated episodes of hypoxia have been proposed as a significant factor in all cardiovascular, heart attack, and stroke diseases. When a person is infected with respiratory virus, they will expel some of the virus with each breath. If they are wearing a mask, especially N95 mask or other tightly fitting masks, they will be constantly rebreathing the viruses, raising the concentration of the virus in the lungs and the nasal passages. We know that people who have the worst reactions to coronavirus have the highest concentrations of the virus early on. It gets even more frightening. Newer evidence suggests that in some cases, the virus can enter the brain. In most instances, it enters the brain by way of the olfactory nerves, the smell nerves, which connect directly with the area of the brain dealing with recent memory and memory consolidation. By wearing a mask, the exhaled viruses will not be able to escape and will concentrate in the nasal passages, enter the olfactory nerves, and travel right into the brain. He should know. One should not attack and insult those who have chosen not to wear a mask, as these studies suggest that it is the wise choice to make. In 1931, a man named Dr. Warburg, he won his Nobel Prize for proving that cancer is caused by lack of oxygen in the cells. I guess we'll close this by a beautiful verse. 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't you tell me obeying God and doing things His way leads to bondage. God wants you to live and live abundantly. David said he'll be at liberty, for he seeks the Lord's precepts, His law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not liberty to go out here and sin and hurt yourself. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there's going to be people who are going to say, as I close, well, obviously, this is talking about freedom from trying to work your way to salvation and understanding the liberty of being saved by grace. And I agree that that's part of that. But one thing I've learned about the Bible, many, many places that you say, I know that is figurative and spiritual, the Holy Ghost interprets literally. A virgin shall conceive. Was that a young woman or was it a virgin? It ended up being a literal virgin. With His stripes, we are healed. I've called my son out of Egypt. You say, well, that's talking about Old Testament, calling a son out of Egypt. All of a sudden, the Lord Jesus as a child goes down to Egypt and God calls him back out. And the Bible says it was fulfilled the prophecy. I've called my son out of Egypt. Wow. Literal beyond anything you could ever imagine. So when you get over to Laodicea and it says Laodicea is naked, you say, oh, that's spiritual nakedness. You sure about that? You sure it's just spiritual nakedness? Knowing the Holy Ghost that I know, and have studied, and given my life to study, you better be careful. This just might be a statement that God's remnant has open face. Because rough times are coming, folks. I'm not going to judge anybody or tell you when to disobey or obey or you know, just make your decisions wisely. But whatever we do, let's get this thing straight. I will not be part of their socialist, wicked, New World Order, New Age agenda. This preacher will not be part of it. This one I will not be part of. And I call you to take a stand and get in the way of it. Get in the way of it till the Lord calls you out of here like Enoch. Amen. Dear Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that life-giving blood of our Savior. We thank you for the breath of life that you gave us at creation. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit breathing upon us to empower us for service, God, and equip us. Lord, we do pray that you bless us, that we get more of thy Spirit, that we walk more in thy Holy Spirit, that we be bold, that we open our mouth in the gate, that we get in the way of the devil and the agenda, and we do all that we can to love and help and save people physically and spiritually in this life and in eternity and in the millennial kingdom. Now bless us, Lord. Thank you for this church. Keep us well. Keep us safe. Help us be diligent in our health, but most of all, our exercise toward godliness. In Jesus' name, amen.